Thank you, guys. I hadn't heard that song in 35 years. I used to sing that in a church where I got saved. It's a blessing. Amen. Well, it's been great to be with you most of this weekend. Couldn't make all of it, but what I was here for, I appreciate you. Always so kind, and appreciate your fellowship. Appreciate you believing this book. And we're trying to live by it. We really are. Not always doing our best, but we're trying our best to live by this book, and appreciate you doing that. So, well, I got thinking about these guys going off on this camping trip, and I always got to be careful because I tell these stories, and my wife says she tries to rein me in, but doesn't work too well. Anyway, these four fellows, every year they went off deer hunting together, and they would bunk together in these cabins. But there's this one guy named Bob, and he snored like a hurricane. And so whoever got... Was that on the video? All right, well, okay, these... I'll tell you another deer hunting story. I'll tell you the other deer hunting story. Was that on the video? That's a good joke, wasn't it? How many of you weren't here Friday night? Sorry, you have to get the video. These three fellows went hunting. One was a preacher. Yeah. I tell you that one?
No.
One was a plumber. One was a contractor. They didn't know the first thing about deer hunting, but they were determined they were going to get a deer. And so they got up early in the morning, because that's what you have to do to go deer hunting. You got to get up at 4 in the morning. And they went and sat up in a tree holding their rifles all day long. Nothing happened. Finally, this deer came walking by. They all saw him at the same time. They all raised their rifles. They all pulled the trigger. They shot so close together, you couldn't tell one report from the other, and down went that deer. They ran down there, and they got arguing about who shot him, fighting over it, and here came the game warden. Uh-oh. He said, what are y'all fighting about? And they said, well, we all three pulled the trigger, all three shot, and that deer went down. We don't know who shot him. The warden said, let me have a look. He went down there. He looked that deer over. About a minute and a half, that's all it took. He stood back up. He said, the preacher shot him. They said, how do you know that? He said, the bullet went in one ear and out the other. The other one was better, but you've already heard it. All right. Now, Joe was nice to say that, because he could have just let me go up here and just hang myself and tell the whole thing. Have you stare at me. Amen. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1 be our starting place this morning. Ephesians 1. And we've been talking about the things that please God, and we've pretty much narrowed it down to one thing. His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's all right with me. And in our first session this morning, we saw that what brought pleasure to the Lord was to reward His Son for His sacrifice by giving Him the opportunity and granting Him the honor. It wouldn't seem like an honor if you look at it from our side, but it does from Him, of saving our souls and making us His children. Hallelujah. Now, having done that, there are three things we want to look at this morning that bring pleasure to God, our Savior. And these are things that result from our salvation. And then we're going to wrap it all up and talk about finally, how it is that we in our day-to-day lives can please God, in addition, of course, to preaching the gospel as we saw this morning. So let's pray. Father, help us now to honor You by honoring Your Word, and to honor Your Word by believing it in our hearts and acting upon it. And Father, we pray for churches across this community and across our nation and around the world this morning, that this would be a day when many, many souls are saved, and a day when many lives are changed, and God, that churches grow and prosper, and that your word goes forth. Father, we pray for those men that will stand in pulpits this morning that have no intention of telling the truth. We pray, God, that You would work a work in their lives, and they would find themselves proclaiming the good news as it deserves to be told. And Lord, all those that intend to honor you, we pray that you'd bless them, empower them, and use them as they preach. And Father, we thank you for helping us here today in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 1, the scripture says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." You were not in him before the foundation of the world, but God chose to give you all spiritual blessing just as soon as you got in him. And God decided that for the foundation of the world. And he says that we should be holy. So we're certainly not, we hadn't said one word this weekend against holiness. Amen. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, here's the verse. Having predestinated us, that word occurs 4 times in your Bible. It is always in reference to save people. No lost person in Scripture is predestinated. The only people in Scripture that are predestinated are saved people. If you're saved, your destination is determined beforehand. Not before you get saved, but before you get where you're going. Predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So here is the Father's will. He decided this before the foundation of the world. Can I step aside and give you, oh, I wish I had an hour for this. This is one of the greatest truths God ever let me see in the Bible. In 1 Samuel 2, Hannah is offering this prayer of praise to God. And she says, "The Lord has founded the earth and set the world upon it." That's really important. When God says, "Love not the world," he doesn't mean rivers and lakes and waterfalls and trees. That's the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world is the system of evil that exists upon the earth. So before the foundation of the world, before all of this corrupt and ungodly mess started, God had a desire. I want my son to have a family. I want my son to have others who are also sons of God. Now, since Adam's fall, that cannot happen by natural birth. It has to happen by new birth. You must be born again. If you want to be a child of God, you have to be born again. But it's God's pleasure to impart to you a new birth and to adopt you into his family that pleases God. Praise the Lord. But watch carefully. Watch the wording. The scripture says, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Does God want all men to be saved? Yes, the scripture says so. Does God want everyone to have eternal life? Yes, the scripture says so. But look again. Before the foundation of the world, he said, I cannot do this bypassing the issue of sin. I cannot do this bypassing the issue of the fall. I can only adopt men and women into my family if I have someone who has made them meet or fit to enter my presence. So we receive the adoption of children because God is gracious, but not by the grace of God. See, what the Calvinist does with Ephesians 1, he says, look, before the foundation of the world, the grace of God. No, he said we receive the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So here's what you have. In the council rooms of heaven, the Father says to the Son, I must destroy, I must punish, I must pour out my wrath upon sin. I hate sin. It's so abominable to me. I must destroy. And the son, proven by the very day that Adam fell, the son said, "Would you allow me?" Praise God. And so the determinate counsel was that the lamb would be slain, and that was determined from the foundation of the world. And so the father watches Abraham die in faith. He watches Abel die in faith. He watches Noah die in faith. He watches Isaac and Jacob die in faith. And he sends them to paradise, and they wait there until one day Jesus Christ sheds his precious blood upon the cross. He pays for all the sins of the whole world forever. The father says, "I accept that sacrifice. Son, what may I do? What may I do to reward you for that sacrifice?" He said, "Father, may I bring many sons to glory?" "Yes, you can. That would be a delight." And you go out and preach the gospel. And when someone believes that, they come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, and Jesus Christ brings that soul to the Father and says, "I have one to admit to our family." And God the Father adopts us at the request and in the name of and by virtue of the finished work of his Son, Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, that maybe in our church we do, and maybe in this church, maybe some of you are adopted. And as much as you might have wanted to be out of some state home and be adopted into a family that loves you, that wasn't your call to make. Someone in their heart set their heart upon you and sought to bring you into their family. That's a blessed thing. Here I am in the devil's house. Here I am a servant of sin. And Jesus Christ set his love upon me, and he initiated the adoption process so that he could bring me into the family of God. And the scripture says that pleases the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Well, of course it pleases us, but that it would please the Lord, that's a tremendous thing. Then he goes on to say this, verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." See, I wasn't acceptable. I was made acceptable by Jesus Christ. I got into the family. I was accepted on the merits of Christ, not on my merits, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Watch this. According to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that, all right, here's what pleases God, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Okay, here's what pleases God. I can trust Christ as my Savior and be saved, and that pleases God. But after I do that, I pick what church I want to go to. That might not be God's pleasure. I pick what doctrines I want to believe. That might not be God's pleasure. I pick the level of dedication and the measure of holiness that I want to involve myself in. That might or might not please God. 5 years later, I might pick a different church. And 10 years after that, I might pick a different church. I might be in the right church with the right doctrine, with the right version of the Bible that was my choice. And I might be stuck on myself, or I might be stuck on my family. I might get up to sing just so you can brag about me. I might dress all my kids right just so you can see what a great family leader I am. I can do all of these things, and I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but I am not intent on God's good pleasure. Now, you know what? Listen, because I'm an independent Baptist. I'm King James only. I'm what you are. I wouldn't be here. Okay, your pastors know me. I know your pastors. We're in agreement. Okay. But if a trumpet sounds this morning, and that's what I'm listening for. After 30 years of looking for the rapture, one video isn't going to get me looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the rapture. I'm excited about the rapture. Those of you who think you're going through the tribulation, just ask yourself, how did I do the last power outage? If you can't handle 3 days without electricity in the wintertime, you're not going through 7 years of tribulation, okay? I think it's going through tribulation. I think you overestimate your abilities. You might go 4 months in, you ain't going through. This one guy I preached, I'll get back to this thing. I preached this church. No, I was preaching this outdoor camp meeting. And this fellow, he's half drunk at a camp meeting. He walked up and he said, I don't believe what you said about the rapture. I believe I'm going through tribulation. I said, you are. Now, if you get saved, you don't have to do that. But the condition you're in right now, you are indeed going. Anyway, if the rapture happens this morning, do you know who's going to get raptured? People who are saved and in church this morning in shorts and flip-flops are going to get raptured. You know who's going to get saved this morning? People who are in churches who don't even believe in the rapture. You know who's going to get saved this morning? People who got saved 2 weeks ago and are lined up to take a wafer. But what the Lord is going to do, he's going to gather everybody who's saved. Come on, we're supposed to believe that. And he's going to purify every one of them to the judgment seat of Christ. And then he's going to gather every one of them. And I don't know if it's collectively or individually. I mean, we got forever. He's going to say, look what my son did for her. Look what my son did for him. Look what my son did for this man from Africa. Look what my son did for this woman from Peru. Look what my son did from this fellow from the inner city. And then everybody is going to praise not that guy's singing, but Jesus. And everybody's going to praise not what that guy did while he was on earth. They're going to praise Jesus. Because when we see him as he is, we are going to lose all self-esteem. We are going to lose all spirit of competition and all spirit of pride. We're going to lose all of that haughty attitude and all the rest of that. And forever and forever and forever, every song will be about Jesus. Every praise will be about Jesus. Every look how great will be about Jesus. And that will please the Father.
Amen.
I guess. Well, I'll be Baptist then, right? Listen, at the rapture, everybody's not going to join your church. At the rapture, everybody's not going to suddenly agree with me. At the rapture, everybody's going to finally figure it out. He is worthy of all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, and he's finally going to get it. Hallelujah. I'm excited about that. Yeah. maybe if I'm talking about you, I'm not talking about you, okay? If this is you, it's not you, okay? I get to go to a racetrack. 100,000 people are going to walk up a ramp and through a ramp and down the other side of a street to go into the Daytona International Speedway, and they're going to walk past me in about 1 minute. They don't have time to read a list of 52,000 sins that I'm against. They have time to read one sign and hear one message. I want them to hear about Jesus and what he did, not about me and what I don't do anymore. Whatever way Christ is preached, I do not interfere. I am not against it. What I'm telling you is, so much of our preaching, so much of our singing, so much of our dressing, so much of our living, so much of our family is so someone will give us some honor and someone will give us some glory and someone will admit that we really are as great as we're trying to be. And on the other side of the rapture, we're going to be done with that forever. Everything that has breath will praise the Lord. And that will please God. And I'm not telling you to stop doing any of those things. You know what Jesus said when he rebuked the Pharisees? He named off all the outward things they were doing and he said, these ought not to be left undone. It's not bad to do what the Pharisees were doing. It was just bad to do them the way they were doing them. Oh, you all right? Okay. So it pleases God to make us part of his family. It pleases God that one day everybody's going to praise his son. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians 12, verse number 12. For as the body is one, hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the baptism of the Holy Spirit? For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is therefore not of the body, that would be really freaky if your foot started saying things. Whew! If the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? It's like a nightmare. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, watch. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. I can't preach this chapter, but I can draw from it what pertains to our study this weekend. I enjoy coming here because I enjoy your music. I do. I like all the different instruments. I like all the different choirs. I like all the different specials. I like all the congregational singing. It contributes greatly to the church service. It does. It's a blessing. I like to come here because somebody keeps this building clean. I'd say a lot of somebodies. And somebody keeps this property clean. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. I like to come here because the grounds and the parking lot are well maintained. That's a blessing. I like to come here because I know there's a lot of babies in this church, and I've been preaching all weekend long, and I haven't heard one of them screaming so no one could hear the preaching. Somebody's sacrificing to make that happen. There are people praying. There's people recording. There's people running cameras. There's people tending to babies. It didn't please God to make all of you the same. It didn't please God to give everyone the same ability. It didn't please God to plug everybody into the same spot in his church. Do you want to do God's pleasure? Don't envy the other person's gift. Don't begrudge the other person's opportunity. Find out what you can do for God and do that. And do that to the best of your ability. I got here this morning and I had some things in my arm, and of course the phone in my hand, make sure everybody's at church and in their spot and all that sort of thing. And there was a little boy on one side, a little girl on the other side, and they swung the doors open wide and smiled. That's a good start for a church service. That's a blessing. You know what that is? That's a foot saying, I don't have to be an ear, I'll be a good foot. Amen. Praise the Lord. We had a Saturday night service. Somebody cleaned the building after church last night. I don't know who it was. Some of you don't know who it was. But if you did it, thank you. Because it's a blessing to walk in and not have a mountain of paper towels in the restroom and not find out that somebody's diaper didn't go home last Sunday. And that's a joy. You know why the place is clean this morning? Because somebody said, I'm a hand. I'll just be a hand. And I'll lend the hand that I am to God's church. It pleases the Lord when you don't try to be someone else, when you just be who you are for God. It's okay. It's okay. The Lord, you know, He gave me an understanding of His Bible. He lets me preach His Word. And I listen as the sister plays the piano over there, and I think, I wish I could do that. Wish I could do that. And I've done more than wish. I have sat many times at the piano and asked God to impart to me. That, could He not do that? Gave men the gift of tongues. He could give me the gift of keyboard. But you know what? I'm going to listen to her play. I'm going to sing along while she plays, and then I'll get up and do my part. Right. While she sits there and says, why can't I preach? You can in about an hour. No, you understand what I'm saying? We sit around wishing, why didn't God call me to be a missionary? Why didn't God let me be the pastor? How come I don't have her voice? And how come please God. It didn't please God to make everybody the same. Yeah. So just allow God to have His good pleasure and do what you can do. Thank the Lord. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2. So it pleases God to adopt us. It pleases God to see His Son get the praise and the glory. It pleases God to give us a place in His body. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Then Philippians 2, verse number 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed. Wow. That must have been some church. You imagine a pastor standing up and saying, well, church, as you've always obeyed, how about a dad? Son, you know you're 20 now, and can't think of one time you didn't obey me. I don't know if that's a stretch or not, but the Holy Spirit put it in there. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Well, there it is. Working for God, serving God, doing this, doing that. All right. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What do you mean? I know. But there it is. Should you preach the word? You should. And when you're finished, should you say, I preached the word? Or should you say, thank you, God, for putting your Holy Spirit inside me, for giving me an understanding, for allowing me to get up this morning with vocal cords that work, for allowing me to have legs that walk, Thank you, Lord, for letting me do what I wanted to do for you. You walk by the offering box, and as a sense of duty, put your contribution in. Thank you. Appreciate it. Don't stop. But could you say, Lord, thank you that I've got so much. I can give this away to you and not miss one single meal. Thank you, God, for enabling me. It's good to serve God. It's better to remember that the God that we serve gives us everything we need to serve Him and makes it all possible. All right. So it pleases the Lord to let us serve Him and to help us serve Him. It pleases the Lord when we serve Him and give Him the praise. It pleases the Lord when we do our part, not wish we had the other person's part. It pleases the Lord to let us be part of His family. Praise God. But now our message for this morning, that's all just a little introduction, a short message. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and Psalm 51. Here's what several of you have said yesterday and again this morning. I've enjoyed this, but I haven't enjoyed this because I really want to please God. There must be something I can do to please God. And so we're going to finish up our weekend together, not by undoing everything that we've said, but by restating everything that we've said. Short, you know, quick, briefly. You know. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go back and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, for the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. May I ask you a question? Why would God have people travel incredible distances, put their family through incredible hardship, spend huge sums of money offering sacrifices if it couldn't take away their sins? Is he just cruel? Is he just mean? Is he just trying to see how far he can push people? I don't think so. Verse number 2. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins? But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Now look. He didn't say God had no pleasure in the sacrifices. He said he had no pleasure in those sacrifices when they were offered for sin, because they were not sufficient to take away sin. They were not sufficient to pay for sin. Now listen. Watch the wording. I stand in line. I've got my animal. I give my animal to the priest. The priest cuts up the animal. He puts the animal on the altar. The animal is burned on the sacrifice on the altar. And I say to that man, why was that sacrifice offered? It was offered to take away my sin. Well, it didn't work. You're still a sinner. And so he goes home. Now, do you think next year he brought another animal and thought, I hope this animal's better than the last one? If he did, he's confused. If he did, he's going to be disappointed. He could bring that animal every year for 90 years and then die, having killed 90 animals for nothing, if he thought that animal was going to take away his sin. Right behind him in line is another man. He's got an animal. He's come to the right place on the right day. He brings that animal. He gives that animal to the priest. And the priest puts that animal on the altar. And you say to that man, why did you offer that animal in a sacrifice? My God is so gracious. My God is so good to me. My God has blessed me in so many ways. If he asked me to come here today and offer that animal to him, it's the least I could do. They both did the same thing, but they did so with a very different understanding of who God is. I don't know. Okay, come to Psalm 51. Come to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, at the time David writes Psalm 51, he has killed Goliath in God's name. He has done right by Saul for years and years and years. He has ascended the throne. He has defeated Philistines. He's spent decades doing things for God. Then that Bathsheba affair brought him down. And now he writes these words. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Why isn't David telling God about all the great things he's done? Why isn't David reminding God about the giant that he took down and reminding God that he didn't kill Saul and reminding God that he fought the Philistines and reminding God that he's making preparation to build a temple? Because he's come face to face with who he really is if God leaves him alone. And he's got nothing to brag about. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Where's his animal? Where's his altar? Where's his high priest? Where's the sprinkling? Where's the burning? You know what he's done? He has realized, without having the New Testament you have, he has realized none of that made me clean. And none of that can make me clean. The only hope I've got is God. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners should be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. He says he's got the Spirit. He says he's got salvation. He says he's got righteousness. But something has happened in his life that's made him realize he's not right with God in his heart. He's killed a lion, he's killed a bear, he's killed a giant, he's killed Philistines, but he hadn't killed his flesh. He hadn't killed his heart. He's written great songs and sung great songs and worshiped God in public and in private, but his heart. His heart is not clean. He said, God, I can never do what you want me to do the right way until you clean my heart. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Stay with, please, right now, watch. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know why you're bitter against somebody? Because they don't recognize your greatness. You know why you won't forgive somebody? Because they had the nerve to do something to you. You! Oh, we're sacrificing to God our money, our time, our attendance, our whatever. Those sacrifices are not valid. Because in our heart, it's still about us. Watch, please watch. If I can bring God a broken spirit, verse 17. If I can bring God a broken heart, verse 17. If I can bring God a contrite heart, verse 17. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. It's not a contradiction. Look what he says. If you bring me that sacrifice, and I look past your sacrifice to your heart, and in your heart I see pride and self-righteousness, I don't want your sacrifice. But if you will come to me, and in your heart I get the glory, I get the honor, I get the praise, I will take every sacrifice you have to offer me with gladness. You see that? I don't want the sacrifice. I want the sacrifice. Don't bring me the offering. Bring me the offering. You see that? Okay. So this morning, I'm going to use me, because I don't know anything about you, and it's better that I don't. I'm going to use me. December 17, 1976, I got saved. Since that time, not one drop of alcohol. Since that time, no illegal drugs. Of course, that's getting a lot broader than it used to be. Since that time, not a cigarette. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Quit the rock and roll band, quit the world, left the old friends, stood up for Jesus. Preaching on the street, preaching on the radio, preaching across America, started three churches, three of them still going, two without me, but three of them still. Hallelujah. Faithful to my wife, both my kids saved, working jobs. Praise the Lord. Did you hear that, God? Did you hear that? That's what I've done for you. Did you hear that? Would you make them see how much I've done for you so they can think more highly of me? I mean, come on, God, I don't want to stand up here and brag all morning. Could you just open their eyes and show them what a great servant of yours I am? Doesn't that sound gross? Doesn't it sound weird that somebody would say that to God? But we don't say it out loud. Sir, you're supposed to love your wife. You don't get a trophy for that. You do it because God taught you to do it. And if you weren't saved, you'd be divorced three times by now. If she wasn't saved, you'd be divorced at least once. You get that on the way home. So you love your children. Lost people love their children. So you work a job. Get more money working a job. I like money. Don't you like money? Look, here's what we're saying. Look at the two guys standing in the line. What are you doing here? I'm here to offer sacrifice. Oh, yeah, me too. Why are you here? Well, I'm going to offer this sacrifice and God will see. I'm giving up this animal for God. I traveled. It took me 2 weeks to get here for God. You know what motel rates are like at feast days? I'm telling you, it's cost me big bucks to come here. And when God sees this animal, and when God sees how much money I spent, and when God sees, I mean, my family, we've been at everything. We skipped the fireworks, man. We went to the prayer meeting. Wow. They were selling those, you know, snow cones and stuff out there for Passover celebration. We didn't buy one snow cone. We don't buy snow cones. Not my family. No way. We don't buy snow cones. When God sees this animal, and when God sees that we're staying in the smallest tent in the whole Feast of Tabernacles, He's going to know He's got a real servant right here. You know what the Lord said? What do I want with one more dead animal? I created the heavens and the earth and all things in them. And this guy thinks I'm going to save his soul because he gave me a dead animal? And that other guy says, well, me and my family, we're pretty much a mess. We're doing the best we can do. But I sure do like to come here and just let God know how much I appreciate His mercy and His grace. You know, if it wasn't for God, my family, we'd still be down there building stuff in Egypt. And I really don't understand what all this is about. But God told me to come here today and to bring this animal, and I just hope it's a good enough animal because God sure is worthy of it. You know what David said? Once I got my heart right, God was pleased with my sacrifice. But when I came with the right sacrifice and the wrong heart, God had no pleasure in it. So I want to urge you, church, to keep memorizing Scripture and reading your Bible and having your devotions and keeping your kids out of the world and having a strong marriage and being faithful to every church service and going out and being involved in all the activities. But don't build a shrine to yourself and bow down before it. And say, now, surely now, God is going to be pleased with me because of look what I've done for Him. God is pleased with Jesus. Amen. Come with that sacrifice. And then offer Him your time and your energy and your strength and your labor. Praise the Lord. We want to do the right thing. We want to do the right thing zealously. But we don't want to do the right thing so someone will give us honor and give us glory and give us praise because we don't deserve any of it. He deserves it all. Can we read these verses again? They're crucial. They're not contradictory. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering, the sacrifice of God, or a broken spirit, a broken, a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You get that? You get that heart right. Verse 19, then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. What makes the sacrifice pleasing to God is the heart condition of the one offering the sacrifice. serve God because He's God from your heart. And it will be pleasing to the Lord. And that's what we want to do. We want to please the Lord. Amen. All right. Father, I thank You for a church full of people who sacrifice their time and their money, their talents, their families, many of their interests in life. I thank You, God, for a group of people so dedicated to doing for a God who is worthy of such service. Father, I pray if there be one person here this morning that is doing all those things with an ounce of pride, with an ounce of look at me, with any competitive spirit, I pray, God, You deliver them so their sacrifice might be pleasing to You. Lord, if there's one here that's doing all the right things but despising those who aren't as right as they think they ought to be, I pray, God, that You'd help them. Deliver them, Lord, from thinking that any of us is deserving of any honor, any glory, any praise. May it all be given to Your Son. We wouldn't be in Your family if it hadn't pleased You to put us there. We wouldn't have a place in Your body if it hadn't pleased You to put us there. We couldn't serve You if it hadn't been Your good pleasure to work in and through us. Help us, Lord, not to touch Your glory, but to give it all to Your Son. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Pastor.